always great to have on and get his take. One of the best, David Caputo, Dr. Caputo, of course, back in the day, emeritus base, political science professor extraordinaire. Talk about a campus, so right here in the heart of New York, as what we have seen in and around Columbia and everything else. It's great to have you. A lot of unrest right now at our institutions, David. Give me your take on things. You saw what happened at Columbia, NYU, back in the day, Cornell, and everything else. My goodness. And, of course, what's happening right now at UCLA at 5:02 in the morning there. It's been an all-night situation. What are you seeing? What do you assess? Welcome,
everybody. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
As best as can be in watching all of this. This is odd to believe what I am witnessing here. But give me what you're feeling here.
Yeah. Yes, it is hard to watch. It is a sad day for higher education. Higher education institutions pride themselves on openness and on freedom of speech and assembly. And when they get themselves in these kind of situations, they're often very difficult for higher education institutions to deal with for the following reasons. Number one, there's a tendency, I think, to overprotect fundamental freedoms at times, which can be well understood. Second, as these gain in numbers and momentum, students and others who are involved usually have demands which simply can't be met, demands that thing that the university divest itself and so forth. Often, the divestment process has nothing to do with campus administrators. It has to do with foundations and so forth. So by occupying a campus and demanding certain things, it's very difficult. And then third, I would just say that you have multiple actors here who have multiple goals. Faculty have one set of goals in terms of trying to protect their students. And I think that the fundamental thing that university administrators think about and try to do is to make sure, in fact, there is safety on campus. That's the primary goal. Second goal is to do what they can to promote free association and free speech. And often these conflict, as apparently is happening on many of the campuses. It's unfortunate. It's not going to go away easily. It'll linger into the, it's already affected some schools in terms of commencement. It's affected schools in terms of their ability to hold classes and so forth. And you can see how universities are really not structured to make these kind of decisions. That's why the standoff at Columbia ended as it did, with having to ask for intervention by the New York City Police Department. You can see what's happening at UCLA now, as that has led to counter-violence on the part of protesters who are protesting the protesters. So it's a no-win situation, and the underlying cause is something that's not going to go away. I mean, we have students on campus, both of Palestinian descent and others, who favor increased rights and for the Palestinians, and who oppose what Israel is doing in terms of conducting the war. This is not going to impact that issue per se. I think what the students who have protested, at least initially, were attempting to do were to bring attention to the issues and trying to get the American public to take sides. But we know that that usually does not happen. And the concern is always that you'll have an escalation of interaction, which leads to some sort of violence. And we all know what happened back in Kent State, and that I think rings in everybody's mind and is an image that no one wants to have. So I think so far the police have responded accordingly when they've been called in. We'll wait and see if they're able to defuse the UCLA. But the important thing here, I think, is going forward. And that is, it's going to be very hard for these campuses to recover. There'll be recriminations and so forth against faculty and students. And it'll be a while.
These campus presidents have been dismal as far as their approach. You know, you got to make an announcement. You got to make a statement right off the bat. Listen, I'm all for free speech. Everybody's right, no question, but do it in a way. This isn't any way. We know what's happening here. It's about leadership. You got nothing at these institutions. You got nothing from the state capitals as far as governors are concerned. The president of the United States has been AWOL. You know, 9 o'clock last night, David, Joe Biden should have gone on the airwaves and gave you 15 minutes of denouncement here. You got nothing from him. You got nothing from the VP. You got nothing from the highest-ranking Jewish member on Capitol Hill, Mr. Schumer. You got nothing from Gillibrand as far as all that's happening in New York. I mean, this is a complete despicable type of deal here. This is how elections are lost, by the way. You want to tell me border? You want to tell me economy? Fine. You want to tell me this right now? Well, guess what? We're 6 months out. This is how elections are lost across the board without question. Don't you think Joe Biden should have made some sort of a statement live, 9 o'clock prime time, tell the American people what's going on?
Let's talk about the political implications in a moment. But as far as the president getting involved and so forth, I would tend to agree with you. I think he has been absent, and I think the administration has let the political factors in terms of not wanting to do certain things with certain groups intervene too much in their decision making. He certainly should have commented and railed against the violence, should have commented about the need to keep campuses open and the need to protect all of its students, both Jewish students and non-Jewish students. And he did not, and I think that was a serious mistake. I think, again, he'll be catching up after that, perhaps. But it's a no-win situation again. But I do agree with you that the administration has not been as forceful as it should have been. Actually, I would say it shouldn't have been last night. It should have been a week or so ago.
Well, maybe.
And to develop. And let's go back to the university leadership for a moment.
Yeah.
I think they're in a difficult situation. However, I think that to issue warnings and then not follow up on them in terms of saying, okay, you have to be off campus or you have to clear the encampment by a certain time and then not follow it, not having adequate security. I mean, I would think that the first thing you would think about is, number one, that, okay, students are now encamped. Are they going to take over buildings? What else are they likely to do? And you have a plan in place long before this to deal with it. In some campuses, they have not, or if they have, they weren't able to implement it, which aided the protesters. Second, you have a way to keep people off campus who are not part of the community, and there is some evidence, and I think there'll probably be more, that some of the protesters are not students affiliated, but were attracted by the cause. And then third, I think it's very important that your leadership team work together to set reasonable goals and to make sure that those goals are implemented. As difficult as it might be to move, I don't think the answer is to short term, certainly, perhaps to close the campus, to go to everything remote classes and so forth. But this is very disruptive. It's going to ruin after 3 to 5 years for many students. It'll ruin their commencements. This will hang over things. And I think it is interesting to see the large number of campuses, private and public, major institutions and institutions that are not as well known who have encountered this. So clearly there's a broad, there's interaction among the students. There's common ground here in terms of what the common pattern being followed. And I think you're going to see this continue. And now the issue will become, okay, we're going to demonstrate to support the students who were arrested. We want to make sure that nothing happens to them and so forth. Well, I think if you have sufficient warning that, you know, you're going to be held responsible for your actions and so forth, I think that it makes it very difficult for student protests to get much support from the public, because what the public sees is an unruly mob, not a group of students who are pressing for certain issues.
Well, they know, David, they know now that these are organized groups in and around this country. you know, funded with deep pockets, Soros type groups. And that is kind of the arm and legs of what's happening in the Middle East right now with Hamas and Iran. I mean, they know exactly what's going on, which brings me to my next point, the possibility where this thing could escalate into some lone wolf doing something crazy. And this is why agencies have to be on the watch beyond belief 24/7 for any type of situation that could develop out of this. That's the scary part of it all. You know, standing around masks and gas masks and everything else, scoffs around, you know, listen, they don't want to be identified. But in essence, that's the scary part of this, of what could permeate from all this stuff we're seeing here.
Yes, I think it's still possible that things are going to escalate on depending on the campus and depending on the response and so forth. I think that the students now have a much better understanding of what the response is likely to be. So I think colleges and universities will be learning from this, but it's a long process, and it's going to have repercussions throughout. Let's talk for a minute about the implication for the election. I mean, clearly, the Republicans in general have seized on this to talk about weak leadership in general at all levels by the Democrats. And I think the Democrats' failure to you can support the issues, you can support the points, but you cannot support this type of behavior. And I think that once it moved past peaceful assembly, action had to be taken. And I think that part of it, I think, has been done reasonably well by the law enforcement agencies, the local police and the state police to date. But again, you have flashpoints and you never know what is going to happen. But I think it's one of the arguments that the Democrats have used against former President Trump is that chaos was characteristic of his time in office. Well, I think with this type of thing happening, and I just point out to you, imagine what the streets of Chicago are going to be like in August for the Democratic convention. I just cannot imagine that the Democrats will be able to handle that and be able to do as well as they want to coming out of that convention and in shades of 1968. So we have to wait. We have to see what is likely to happen. But I think that it's not one of the better eras for American higher education, unfortunately. There are some campuses that have been able to keep discussion going and been able to not have these types of demonstrations and so forth. How long that'll keep going, I think, depends upon the institution and what exactly is going on in these discussions. But I think the primary point is that universities are really not in position to determine what our military policy ought to be, or what the Israeli military policy ought to be, or the situation involving...
Here's the thing. These university presidents need to stand up, because they are not permitting students in full to get their education, to get their money's worth, you know, to enjoy the campus open to the public, to enjoy campus life, to congregate with friends. That's what college is all about. They are now permitting this to go on without any massive statements. That's my biggest thing here. These kids have been told, you know what, you're taking your life in your hands if you come back, okay? If you come back to the campus and everything else. We got anti-Semitism beyond belief going on around this country right now. That's why these university presidents should be under fire here, because they have not denounced this from the get-go. They have not permitted enrolling students to congregate in their everyday life on campus. That's my biggest thing here.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I think many campuses have tried to do that but haven't been able to. And as far as the executive leadership goes, I do agree with you that it starts at the top, and it's important that any president, regardless of the institution, have a firm understanding of what's happening and also a firm commitment to the number one priority, which has to be both the safety of the students and also the integrity of the educational process. And I think that has been lacking in some cases, and I think we've seen the consequences of it. But I also would point out that there have been a lot of people who have jumped on the political bandwagon here, and that doesn't help either at this point. There's processes in place that will take care of this, but those processes haven't been fully utilized by many of the presidents, and I think that's been a real problem.
David, we're going to keep an eye on things. Can't thank you enough for your take. Valuable as always.
Thank you, Jay.
We look forward to the next time.